Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
You know, guys, one of the questions that so many Christians have is how to live out the will of God. And, you know, that's a difficult thing for us to do just through human effort, just on our own, opportunity. We really need to rely on Jesus Christ. That's the will of God for us. But Jesus was sent into the world to carry out the will of his Father. He was able to do that, and that's exactly what he did. And we read about that in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 9. He says, "Then he said, 'Here I am, I have come to do your will.'" So Jesus Christ came into this world to do the will of his Father. And so he sets aside the first to establish the second. So what was the will of the Father? To bring the sin issue to a completion.
Yes.
To solve the sin problem. And he did that by sending Jesus to be the once-for-all sacrifice for all sin. And then it goes on and says, "And by that will we have been made holy." So again, what's the will of God the Father? The will of God the Father is for us, his creation, to be made holy, to restored to what we were before the fall. Adam and Eve were created holy. They were set apart for God's use through that relationship, through that intimate, personal relationship. That went by the wayside at the fall. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were no longer being used or living out their designed purpose. They were under the control of sin and death, under the control of the prince of the power of the air. They were living out the ways of this world. And that's how we came into the world. We were not carrying out God's design for us as individuals. But now, through the blood of Jesus, that's been changed. It says here, "And by that will we have been made holy," or sanctified, through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once and for all. So what did the blood of Jesus do for each of us? It set us apart. It removed that sin issue. It cleansed us so that we could now be used by God. Not as, you know, just an object that he would use for his own purposes, so to speak, for his self-seeking purposes, but to use us to share his love and grace in this world. That's what it means to be sanctified, set apart for the intended design that we were created to carry out. So if you are in Christ, you have been sanctified. It is a past tense deal. You have been made holy. Think about that.
Yeah.
It'll boggle your mind, won't it? You have been made holy. That is what the sacrifice of Jesus Christ accomplished for you and me. That's good news.
That's good news. Let's talk about it on today's edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York, or Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Freddie listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Freddie.
Yes, how are you?
We're doing fine, Freddie. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Amen. I serve the Lord in obedience. Listen, I want to ask you, you spoke last week about always saved. I don't think that's correct, because a person has to live in obedience. And you could lose salvation if you don't walk in the Word and live a righteous life before the Lord. And another thing, why you guys never preach about obedience, about sin, fornication, adultery? There's a lot going on, son. People need to know this.
Well, Freddie, if you listened every day, you would hear us talking about those very things. As a matter of fact, a caller from New York called in several weeks ago and said how the grace of God had freed him from his addiction to pornography. Well, that's what the grace of God does. It teaches us to say no to sin and to unrighteousness, and it teaches us how to live righteous, godly lives in this present generation. So in the grace of God, we have everything we need for life and godliness. It's going to take care of every single issue. It has the power to do so, nothing else. Freddie, if I'm sorry to say, if our salvation was dependent upon our obedience, I don't think anyone would be saved. I mean, if you're saying that God saves us initially by grace, and then it's up to us to keep our salvation, to remain saved, I don't think any of us would be saved, Freddie. We just don't have that in us. That's why we need Jesus at the moment of salvation. That's why we need him every single moment of our lives. And that's why he's extended to us the very grace of God, so that we could live out the fruit of his life in this world. I mean, I'm not the source of goodness. I'm not the source of love. I'm not the source of peace. I'm not the source of kindness. Those all reside in the very character of God. And he's come to live inside of us. And as I live in dependence upon him, as a branch lives in dependence upon a vine, then we're going to bear fruit. There's no other way. That's why the Christian life is about faith in Jesus. Now, that faith is going to spell itself out in various ways, obedience being one of those things. But it's that trust relationship that is going to lead to obedience from the heart and righteousness that flows from the heart. So, Freddie, it's all about trusting in Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths.
That's good stuff right there.
That is good stuff. Yeah. It makes it just so simple for us. If the Christian life was just filled with rules and regulations, we have to do this, we have to fight that, we have to do this, we couldn't do it. And I've seen so many, and even in my own life, I got so confused with all the do's and don'ts, it was overwhelming, and I lost hope. And I think that's where so many believers are today, is they've lost hope. Why? Because they look and they've realized it's impossible to live up to the righteous standards of God.
Yeah.
That's why God sent Jesus. Jesus did it on our behalf. He took the punishment we justly deserved. He was raised. He was given the gift of the Spirit as he ascended. He poured out that Spirit on us. That Spirit now lives in us, abides in us, indwells us. As we learn to walk in the Spirit, to live by faith in the Spirit, we're going to find ourselves not fulfilling the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
If we will just recognize how God has designed it and buy into it, that's what faith is. It's buying into God's plan. It's not trying to restructure it. It's not trying to add to it. It's simply buying into God's plan, mm-hmm, by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
That's when we experience the abundance of life, and that's when this sanctification really flows through us.
As I said, good stuff, Bob. 844-322-2742, plenty of time on the clock, plenty of open lines right now. 844-322-2742. Let's talk about another plan. Let's talk about going to the Holy Land.
We're going to do that next February, February 7th through the 18th. We're really looking forward to this trip. It's limited in number. We're going to take 40 people over there. That's a single bus load that will enable us to get through the country very smoothly, will enable us to spend more time at these particular sites and really absorb what God wants us to learn as we walk through those various places. And we're going to do so. We're going to look at those places and read the scripture through the lens of the new covenant. And we're going to look, for example, at Mount Carmel, where Elijah battled or confronted or faced off with the prophets of Baal.
Right.
And how God showed that he was victorious and that he was the only true God. We're going to look at that and say, how does that point us forward to Jesus? What do we have in this new covenant in Christ that story prophesied, that story talked about? We're going to go to Jerusalem, and certainly we're going to see where the temple was, and we're going to ask all kinds of questions about how the Passover pointed us forward to the realities of this sacrifice that we have in Christ. So we're going to go and see this land through the new covenant. I'm telling you, it will blow you away.
Yeah, so
come join us. We would love to have you a part of this wonderful trip. It will be a trip of a lifetime.
All the information available, of course, under the events tab at basicgospel.net. Again, that's events at basicgospel.net. We would really love to see you go with us. 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. Open lines, plenty of time right now. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go back to New York and talk to our good friend, Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to expound a little bit upon what the last caller was mentioning. I guess his name is Freddie, about obedience. A couple of weeks ago, if you remember, fellas, I called about the Protestant notion of forensic justification, which is an alien righteousness which is applied to the sinner. And it does not inhere in the sinner. He's not made righteous when he's justified. We know that's false. And because it's an alien righteousness, it's not up to the individual to maintain it. That's where the notion of eternal security comes from. I don't think you guys realize that, but that's in fact where it does come from. So you can see how one false doctrine leads to the next. You can indeed, you know, Bob, from talking to me, the church has always taught that you can lose your salvation. It is possible. And this is all over Scripture. But I just wanted to relate that it comes from this notion of forensic justification. That's where it comes from and where it stems from.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring that forward.
Well, Frank, thanks for that. You know, you disagree with our stance, and that means we disagree with yours as far as what the Bible is saying. And what we've talked about and what we teach and what we maintain to be true is that salvation is more than forgiveness. It's more than just a forensic declaration that we're right before God. Salvation is being made alive together with Christ. We who were dead in transgressions and sins have been made alive because of God's great love for us. That's what it means to be saved by grace, to go from death to life. John calls that the crossover. We cross over from death to life. So to lose salvation would mean we would have to go back to death, that we would have to stand condemned again. That's where we were when we were dead in sins. We were under the condemnation of the law of sin and death. Well, Jesus stood in our place, and he took the punishment. So every single sin has already been punished in Christ Jesus, and now we receive his resurrected life. So, and what does that do? Enables us, as Paul wrote in Romans 6, to be obedient from the heart. So something has happened to us internally, as we've talked about time and time about this new covenant, the laws, and we look at those as these marks of the Christian life, faith, hope, and love, have been written on our hearts and in our minds. That's what the Holy Spirit does. What does that cause? Well, it causes this new life to be lived out through us. So as I think you rightly say, Frank, this is more than just a forensic forgiveness.
Yes, much more.
There is an internal change. It's a new birth into Jesus Christ. And because we've been born again into the kingdom, God has sent his Spirit to take up residence in us, and it's through that union that this new life is lived out. But, Frank, we appreciate your call as always, my friend. Thank you. Let's go to William in Livermore, California. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. Just wanted to point out the Scripture says that clearly no one will be justified by observance of the law.
You're spot on, and talk about something that's throughout the New Testament. That is throughout the New Testament, and we see it in practice in the Old with the people of Israel, with the nation of Israel. You know, I've said a number of times, God gave Israel 10 commandments, really only needed one. They never got past commandment number one.
Right. Right.
So they knew, you know, early on, after the law was given, that it was going to be impossible for them to obtain righteousness through obedience to the law, because they
It also says that those who rely on observance of the law have fallen away from grace. They've been alienated from Christ.
That's correct. That's what Paul wrote in the book of Galatians. So if we're trying to justify ourselves through obedience to the law, which requires human effort, so
right.
I'm bringing something to the table. It's up to me to live up to those laws. And if I live up to those laws, then I get rewarded for that accomplishment. So we've taken it out of the realm of by grace through faith in Jesus and put it back into the realm of works salvation. It's impossible for us to work our way into God's good favor. We just can't
right.
do it.
And Jesus said that whoever accepts the Son receives eternal life, but whoever rejects him will never see life. And I see trying to work for your own righteousness as a rejection of Jesus Christ.
Well, it is, because you're saying I can do it. I don't need Jesus.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 Christ died for nothing, right?
That's exactly right.
Thanks, Bob.
Hey, good comments, William. I appreciate it.
Let me give the phone number real quick, then I'm going to come to you, Richard. 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We have time on the clock, open lines. And, Richard, I know you had a follow-up comment on that. Then I want you to comment also on the financial health of the ministry, if you would.
Okay. In this whole conversation about justification and obedience and all that kind of thing, sometimes people get the impression that we as believers in by grace through faith don't believe that obedience is important. It's absolutely critical. The issue is, where does that obedience come from? Does it come from the inside out because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, or does it come from the outside in because of something I'm able to do? In every case, if you are a child of the living God because the Holy Spirit lives in you, every ounce of obedience that you experience in your life is the direct result of that Holy Spirit. So don't misunderstand us. We are called to a life of holiness. We're called to an impossible life, absolutely impossible life. But that life is made real in and through us by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way to do it.
Absolutely. As the person who is primarily charged with literally day by day keeping your finger on the pulse of the financial health of the ministry, tell us how we're doing.
Well, we're doing all right. We're doing better than we did last year. We had a good first quarter, but we're still a tiny bit short. Last year, it was a train wreck at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
This year, it was not, and we thank you for that. What I see this as, and since we were in Hebrews 10, I want to read something to you. This giving issue is about this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. There, that's what this life is all about.
Yeah.
And giving to Basic Gospel isn't giving to pay the bills, although it does pay the bills. Mm-hmm. Giving to Basic Gospel is a chance for you to express this truth, that we can come to the very throne of grace, the throne of God himself, through the living curtain that is Jesus, and we can help other people discover that pathway.
Yeah.
That's why you give. That's why you support the preaching of the gospel, the interaction that we get to have with people who both agree and disagree with
sure.
us, that the conversation is where the learning is, and we can't do it without you. We just are so thankful that you help us. BasicGospel.net, every page on our website has a giving link. You can call 844-412-2742 and talk to Billy. It's the best thing you could possibly do.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you, Richard.
Let's go back to our phone lines and talk to Audrey, who's listening to us in Westchester, New York. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. What's on your
Thank
mind
you.
Today?
That once saved, always saved. I guess that's what you would call it, in a nutshell, right?
Well, that's a phrase. It's not in the Bible, but it's...
Right. Because, you know, these are one of those subjects that it just splits down the middle. It's like the pre-rapture or the post-rapture. And you think, how could everybody read the same Bible and have so many different opinions? I didn't quite get that the callers before were talking about observing the laws, like the last one said. I don't think they were talking about observing the laws, as in the old, you know, Testament laws, when they were talking about obedience. But I think, you know, because I'm still on the fence, I'm still, you know, learning about this. But I think they're more talking about, do you mean if I go, you know, I say, you know, Jesus come into my heart, you know, you do the sinner's prayer, and then I go about my way and I still live in sin and I die living in sin, like, say, if you're, you know, living a married life or a homosexual life or whatever the sin is, that if I die still doing that, I'm going to be with Christ in heaven. Is that what you're saying? And could I get, like, some Bible verses to back that up? Because I think what some of us have in the back of our mind is with things like, you know, that your name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, and I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, meaning that there's a possibility that you cannot abide in me, and I don't know if that necessarily has to do with, you know, salvation or maybe just living out the kingdom life. Maybe there's a difference that I'm not understanding. But I think this is where we, some of us who are still like, huh, you mean that you could say this?
Well, Audrey, let me jump in for time's sake. I think we understand what you're asking. And it's very important for us to really understand what salvation is. So many people think of it just simply in terms of forgiveness. Jesus Christ died for our sins so that one day I can have a place in heaven when I die. And so there's nothing that's really happened to us other than the fact we've gained a golden ticket or something that will grant us entry into heaven. But salvation is so much more than that. Salvation is actually life. Jesus Christ said that he came into this world that we might have life and have it to the full. Well, why would we need life, Audrey? And the answer to that is because we were dead spiritually. When Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually. And then some 900 years later, they died physically. So sin brought death. The wages of sin is death. So when you and I come into this world, Audrey, we're dead in our transgressions and sins. We are separated from the life of God. So we're out trying to make it on our own. So we look at money, we look at sex, we look at power, we look at fame, we look at anything the world offers as a means to give us life, to give us meaning and purpose. But every single one of those leave us empty. So finally, we look to Christ. And in Christ, we experience life. So he took away our sins, was raised on the third day so that we could be made alive. So when we're made alive, Audrey, then Jesus sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. So now we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to lead us and to be our guide for life, our rule for life. So as we learn to trust him, Audrey, we're no longer living in sin. We're living in this faith relationship. We're in Christ. We've been severed from that old relationship with sin and death. Now we have a new relationship with Jesus. And if we'll learn to trust Jesus, guess what we're going to see coming out of our lives? It's not going to be sin. It's not going to be selfishness. It's going to be love. The fruit of this relationship with Christ is love. So we've been made alive together in Christ. He has come to live inside of us. He has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. We've been forgiven. We've been declared righteous. We've been made clean. We've been redeemed. That is an eternal act that Jesus did that we benefit from. And so for us to die spiritually, Jesus is going to have to die spiritually. Why? Because he's become our very life. That's why we can have assurance of salvation. That's why we can walk in confidence, Audrey, that nothing, not anything, will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me put you on hold, Audrey. We're about out of time. I want to send you some resources, okay? You hang on.
Lively discussions today, and thanks to everyone who called to be a part of it. We're glad you were here today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel.